Ephesians chapter 3 is where we'll read tonight, and then we're going to start preaching tonight in chapter number 5. Let's spend a little time there together. The Bible said in verse 17 of chapter 3 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How many is glad tonight that Christ dwells in your heart? I like the word dwell. It means he don't bounce in and bounce out and come on and go away. That means he's there to stay. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of things change. That never changes for the child of God. The Bible said that you being rooted and grounded in love. And Brother Steve was mentioning some things about loving God and loving each other a while ago. And I'll have more to say about that in a minute. But it blessed my heart. Verse 18, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding above, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I thought about going a different direction tonight. I mean, it's the Christmas season, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I want to ask you this. Is there a better time in our lives to concentrate on bringing God glory in the church than through the Christmas season? Amen. And I believe tonight that God wants us to go on in this series. Let's look at chapter 5, verse number 1. He said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for your precious people. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the teens that gathered in the youth room tonight. God, working on their program. And, Lord, the things that they had to say concerning Christmas, what a blessing to this pastor's heart. And I pray, God, it would be a blessing to our church as it's presented. And I pray, Lord, for all those in the play and all those that are working, and Lord, all the work that's going on at Harmony Missions and church missions and all that's going on here at the church, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd get honored and that you'd get glory. Now, Lord, tonight in the service, we know, Lord, that if we're helped tonight, God, you'll have to help us. Now, I pray, Lord, tonight you would do that. Lord, I pray you'd help our people that are sick. Lord, it seems like on every hand, our Lord, our people are suffering. I pray, dear God, tonight you would help them as only you can. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to give you several things tonight in this chapter and that God has spoken to my heart about. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you about bringing God glory in the church. I'm talking tonight about God's people now. Only God's people can bring God glory in the church. The tares among the wheat, they can't bring God glory. But if those that are born again, those that are genuine, those that are saved by the grace of God, have the ability to bring God glory in the church. And so tonight, I want to say several things. First of all, that people that can bring God glory is a special people. You say, "Pastor, do you believe that?" Yes, I do. I believed that when I got saved. I believe that in every church I've pastored. And I believe that today, that God's people, there's just something different about them. They're a special people. Let me give you an example of what is in my heart right here. The Bible said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as..." Now, Paul didn't have to say this. He could have said, "as the children of God." But he said, "as dear children." I want you to know tonight, if you have youngins, they're dear to your heart. And God's youngins are dear to his heart. So dear that he said, "Beloved, listen, it'd be better for a man to have a millstone hung around his neck and be cast into the bottom of the sea than to offend one of these, my little children." Amen. Over and over and over in the book of 1 John, he talks about my little children. And I tell you, there's nothing wrong tonight. The Bible said we're a peculiar people. We're a special people, amen, in the eyes of God. And I believe tonight that God's people ought to understand and realize tonight that as those dear children, we can be followers of the Lord and bring honor and glory to Him in this season. I was in the hospital yesterday, and I was visiting, and I came out to the waiting room by request. This man, he told the family that I was visiting, said, "Tell Brother Vinoy to come out here and visit with me." And I went out there to visit, and Brother Steve, we probably hadn't seen each other in 20 years, but it's just like you picked up right where you left off. Why? Because we're both God's dear children. Amen. And I'll tell you something tonight. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but Brother Junior, you're an example of this. I didn't have to be around you long, brother. I tell you, thank God the Spirit of God bears witness back and forth. Amen. And I just thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, and thank God for His children. And I thank God that it don't take year after year after year after year. But beloved, you can just get around God's people and be comfortable with them. You don't have to put on airs. Amen. You don't have to try to pretend like you're something that you're not. Amen. We're God's children. And I believe that we're a special people in the eyes of God. Now, He said, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Tell me tonight, is that not a tall order for God's children? And He said to walk in love. Later on, He's going to tell the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. I tell you tonight, that's a tall order, amen? But because He dwells in us, it's possible for us to walk in love. It's possible for us men to love our wives as God loved the church, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He said, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So the first thing I wanted to say in the message tonight, God's people, this people that can bring God glory and give Him glory in the church, they're a special, special people. Amen. I know the world, they could just soon spit on us. We don't mean nothing to the world. But I'm telling you, to our Father tonight, we mean something. Amen. I'm telling you, to each other tonight. Amen. I called Brother Mike a while ago. Had no idea he'd be able to come to church tonight. But I just said, how you doing, brother? You say, preacher, why'd you do that? I'll tell you why. Because the Spirit of God put him on my heart. Amen. I ain't got enough sense to remember what needs to go on. Amen. But I just try to mind the Lord. It doesn't matter where I'm at or what I'm doing. When God puts something on my heart, I try to stop and do, amen, what God tells me to do. Why? Because you all are God's dear children. And the Apostle Paul said, he said over there in one place, he said, I have you in my heart. Amen. How many's got your children in your heart? How many's got your grandchildren in your heart? Well, as much as you and I can love our children and our grandchildren, you just multiply that times 10,000 times 10,000, and that's how much we have a Father in heaven tonight that looks down on us and loves us. We're His special, special children. And then tonight, I want to say this. The children that bring God glory are not only special children, but they're separated children. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Beloved, listen, did you know that it's possible for you and I, we read it in the last chapter, to grieve the Holy Ghost? Did you know that it's possible, beloved, for God's special children to grieve our Heavenly Father? Did you know it's possible tonight for us to grieve one another? Would somebody say amen? I'm telling you tonight, listen, I told Sister Kim a while ago, Brother Richard told me the light's on in the back of the car. Well, we got to put a stop to that. This thing's happening too much now. You say, what's going on? Well, it ain't a rat. It's grandchildren. Say amen. That's turning it on. Amen. Now, the rats are tearing the shelter down out there. If we don't do something, we ain't going to have a shelter. That's the truth. You can go out there and sweep everything up and go back the next morning, and it's all down there in the floor again. Amen. We'll get rid of the rats. I can't correct the rats, but I'll do my best to kill them. Say amen. Now, I'm not going to do my best to kill my grandchildren, but I am going to do my best to correct them. Say amen. I heard them sassing their mamaw a while ago, and they come just in the ace of getting Papa out of the rocker a while ago. I give them a warning. They kind of straightened up a little bit. But you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say we're to be a separated. Yes, we're a special people. Read it with me in the Word of God. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, as it let it not be once named among you as become a saint. I want to ask you a question tonight. If it's impossible for God's people to be involved in these things, then why did the Apostle Paul put the warning in the Scripture? It's not impossible. I like what one preacher said early in my ministry. I heard a preacher say this. He said, you're just as capable after you get saved of doing what you did before you got saved, and worse. Amen? You say, Pastor, how could you say that? Because, beloved, we're still in this flesh, and this flesh must be brought under subjection to the Holy Ghost. If not, beloved, listen, you could have told David what he was going to do with Bathsheba. He'd have said, never. You could have told the beloved Samson what he was going to do with Delilah. He said, that'll never happen. You could have told, beloved, listen, who am I thinking about now? The wisest man in the world, Brother Steve. Solomon, you could have told Solomon, you're going to get all tripped up before you leave this world. You're going to have, 700 wives and 300 concubines, and you're going to be a worshiping their gods. Oh, Solomon would have said, never, no way, amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you and I need to understand tonight that God said, yes, you're a special people, but I want you to come out from among the world. I don't want you to just be special to me. I want you to be separated unto me. Paul said, separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. And I believe that's what's important. Beloved, I'll say this tonight. Only half of separation is preached most of the time. Listen, only the separation from is preached half of the time. But if we're going to bring God glory in the church, we do need to separate from, but we need to separate unto the things of God. Amen. And the gospel of God. He said in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. God said, use this tongue to give thanks. And for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and our God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. You say, Pastor, why the warning? Because the Apostle Paul understands and realizes, listen, the Spirit of God sealed us until the day of redemption. Yes, He did. But until the day of redemption, there's going to be a battle. It's talked about in the book of James. It's talked about in the book of Peter. Beloved, the flesh is going to war against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And God wants us to win that battle and be separated and bring Him glory. He said in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. He said, walk like it. Act like it. Walk as children of light. Amen. Because you're no longer children of the darkness when you get saved by the grace of God and you're born again. He said the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Then he said, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How many of you know somebody somewhere in their Christian experience, they started rubbing shoulders with the wrong crowd? Now let me tell you this, listen to me carefully. There's a lot of people say, well, how are you going to win them? I'm going to tell you something right now. You can witness to them, but you can't join them. Say amen. You can't yoke up with them. The Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. Nothing good will ever come out of that. And by the way, I'd say 99 out of 100 times, it's not the good person that lifts the bad person up. But boy, when they yoke up like that right there, it's the bad person that drags the good person down. Amen. And their light is no longer what it used to be. He said, all things are manifest. He said in verse 12, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Can I ask you a question? Is it possible? Is it possible for a child of God to walk in a foolish manner? Is it possible for him to talk in a foolish manner? You better believe it is. That's why the Apostle Paul is sounding the warning. I believe in the first century church, there were already examples of this. And that's why Paul was needing to warn the church in Ephesus. And if we're going to bring God glory in the church, understand, we're a special people, but we need to be a separated people, separated unto Him. The Bible said, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You could preach from now till Jesus comes on that statement, the days are evil. Who in this world would have ever thought we'd be facing the things that we're facing today? I'm talking about taking them children off to the side and saying, you know, you got time now to make up your mind whether you're really a boy or whether you're really a girl. And we've got some stuff to help you. I'm telling you, beloved, they're not helping our kids. They're killing them. The days are evil. The days are evil. The days are evil. You can say whatever you want to. But when you could spend $100 million dragging another man through the mud, the days are evil. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Herschel Walker may have some things in his past that he ain't proud of, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe he knows the God of heaven that forgives. Amen. By the way, if that's what it takes to disqualify a man, just send me on my way. Because I'll tell you, Jesus had to forgive me of a mess. Amen. A mess in my life that I'd made a mess of my life. But thank God He specializes in it. Amen. So He wants us to know we're special people. He wants us to know that we're to be a separated people. And then the third thing that God put in my heart tonight, He wants us to be a Spirit-filled people. The Word of God said here, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. A lot of people don't understand why the analogy is laid out that way in the Scripture. See, when a man is drunk with wine, he's not the one in control. It's the wine or the beer or the liquor that's in control of his senses. And God said, I want you to take your body and I want you to put it under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God would control our mind. The Spirit of God would control our hands, control our feet. Amen. And God said, I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. There's all kinds of ideas out there on what people think it means to be filled. But I believe Paul was a Spirit-filled man. Paul was able, beloved, to carry the burden for all the churches. He was able to stay true to the things of God. He was able to live his life and die saying, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I believe there's only one way a man can die like that, and that's to die being under the influence of the Spirit of the living God, to live and die. Beloved, to be Spirit-filled. The Bible said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many has ever been around an old-timer? Maybe it be your mother, maybe your grandmother. How many has ever been around one of them old-timers that sang their way through the day? Amen. They sang their way through the dishes. They sang their way through the laundry. They sang their way with a cross-cut saw out in the woods, and they just had the joy of the Lord. And they worked like dogs. They worked hard. They sweated. They didn't have near the comforts that we have today. But I tell you, they had a relationship with God, amen, that wouldn't quit. And the Word of God said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. I'll tell you this tonight. It's impossible to do that without the Spirit of God. Impossible to do that without the Spirit of God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing I see in the message tonight, I see that we're a special people. We can bring glory to God. We're to be a separated people. we can bring glory to God. We're to be a Spirit-filled people, and we can bring glory to God. But I'll tell you this tonight. This is just as important as anything else I've said. We're to be a submissive people, and we can bring glory to God. The Bible said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. You want to see the Holy Spirit take a hike? You let two or three people get in a contest for who's going to be the boss. Who's going to have their way. Say amen. You say, Pastor, what's the Bible's talking about the home here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I wonder how many divorces could have been saved if there was something called submission introduced into that home. Amen. The man said, you know what, Lord? You're my head, and I'm going to submit to you. And the woman said, you know what, husband? You're my head, and I'm going to submit to you. And the children said, you know what, Mom and Dad? You're my parents, and I'm going to submit to you. You say, Pastor, it can't be that simple. Honey, you'd be surprised what the lack of submission, the problems that it's causing in churches. And beloved, listen, it's causing that problem in the government. It's causing that problem, listen, in homes all across America. They're being busted and torn from one end to the other because, bless God, she said, I'm going to have it my way. He said, I'm going to have it my way. And the kids are standing over there with their hands on their hips saying, neither one of you, I'm going to have it my way. What we ought to be interested in more than anything, if we're going to bring God glory in the church, is His way. His way. His way. His way. I don't know how many times I've told this, but I'm going to tell it again because I believe it's fitting. My pastor was not a preacher at the time. He was a deacon. Brother Mike, I don't think you've heard it. Maybe it's just for you and Miss Debbie. Brother Junior, maybe you've not heard it. Some of y'all's come along recently. Brother Jason, I'm not sure if you've heard it. My pastor was the deacon. He was in a meeting with his pastor and the other deacons. And they needed pews, Brother Steve. You've heard the story. And the pastor was just like, I say just like me, pastors that are looking after their church, they're trying to find a, if you need something, they're trying to find a good deal on it. Amen? And the pastor came into that meeting and he had found a bargain, Brother Mike, on some pews, but they were pine. And my pastor was in the furniture business at that time. He was a deacon. And he told him, when he got done with his presentation, he said, Pastor, he said, I really believe it would be a mistake for our church to buy the pine pews. He said, they just don't hold up well. And anybody that's worked with furniture knows you can glue it together and screw it together and everything else. It just won't stay together like oak will. Now, you put oak together and put it together right, it'll be there a long time. But anyway, when he said, Pastor, I believe it'd be a mistake. But here's what he said. He said, I don't want to cause any trouble. He said, Pastor, he said, if you and these men and the church, that you believe it's best to buy the pine pews, he said, I'll buy the first one. He said, but if we reconsider, maybe spend some more money, but get something that'll last. He said, we decide to buy oak pews, I'll buy the first one. Boy, I tell you, that's a good spirit, ain't it? That's a good spirit. And just that lesson alone, Brother Ralph and Brother Rick, Brother Houston, it taught me a lot. Brother David, it taught me a lot. Just that lesson alone. I can remember it like it was yesterday when Brother Brian was still meeting with us back there. And that's why I called it a pastor and officers meeting. I wanted the officers to come in. Brother Gary's our treasurer. He's not the treasurer, he's the treasurer. Anyway, and I can remember having a discussion. I said, men, we can come in here and determine to have our way, or we can come in here and get our heads together and our hearts together and see if we can find His way. And I'll tell you what's the truth. What a blessing, amen. The pastor came to my pastor, Brother Bud, a year later, and he said, Brother Bud, I thank God you spoke up in that meeting. He said, there's several churches in our area that bought those pine pews, and they're already falling apart. I tell you,
You see, how many believes that's right? Amen. If a husband and wife need to talk something over, the Bible says submitting yourselves one to another. But if there can't be an agreement, honey, it's on him. And if the decision is wrong, God's not going to hold the wife responsible for that decision. He's going to hold that man responsible for that decision. And he's going to hold that wife responsible for following her husband, lifting him up in prayer, and submitting to him. You say, Pastor, that'll never be popular. Who gives a rip? It's a truth of the Scripture. Amen. I tell you what, if you're going to preach this book, you're surely not going to preach it to be popular. Amen. It is the truth of the Word of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. A lot of men jump on that right there. Boy, they just ride that horse. The husband's the head of the wife. That's okay. Even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You don't hear much preaching on verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't believe you'll ever see a woman being loved like Jesus loved the church that's not willing to submit to her husband. Amen. A lot of times the problem men's in the mirror. Would somebody say amen? I'll tell you, listen, if a day ever comes in your house and you have to stick your chest out and say, bless God, I'm the head of this house, you're missing something. If a day ever comes in this church and I have to stand here and stick my chest out and say, bless God, I'm the pastor of this church, we're missing something. Say amen. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Submitting yourselves one to another. That brings God glory. Amen. And I believe it's important. He said here that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We're members of his body. You think about that just a moment. We're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence. Boy, that's tall, ain't it? That's a tall order. See that she reverence her husband. Amen. How many believes that scripture? I believe it is, don't you? What did Sarah call Abraham? Anybody know? Lord. She reverenced Abraham. Amen. And I believe it's important. You go down to verse number 1 in chapter 6. The Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. I tell you, it's important, our relationships and bringing God glory. We're a special children. We're to be a separated children. We're to be a spirit-filled children. And we're to be a submissive children. Amen. I wonder tonight, how many of you all tonight, if you see somebody back-talking their mom or their dad or their mamma or their papa, how many of you would that bothers you? Would you raise your hand? Well, let me ask you this. Brother Ron, when we rebel against God, is that not what we're doing? Just sassing, back-talking, so to speak, amen? Not being submissive under the will of the Father. That's a dangerous place to be in, ain't it? Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for coming.